Hey, everybody. Welcome to No One Told Me, where we believe hindsight is everything. My name is Callie. And if it's your first time hanging out with us, here's what we do every single week. We want to take the experiences of those who are ahead of us and use it to turn around and walk with those coming behind us. So those moments where you look around and you think, how is it that no one told me this would happen, when you feel isolated or alone or like you should have it all figured out? The good news is you shouldn't. And what we have here is a whole library of people who have been where you are and want to tell you what they learned through the process. So today in particular, this episode is more so for me, and I just hit record so that you all could hear it too. So Greg and Miss Tanya, they are one of those that I learned a lot just by proximity. It wasn't just like I would sit down with them weekly and ask questions, but they have been married for how long now?
25 years this year.
25 years in June.
So 25 years together, two boys, right? One in college. Yes. And one in high school. What grade is he? A junior?
He's a junior.
Junior. Yes. So he's about to go to college. So yes. You all are about to be free as a couple birds.
We're getting close.
So you all, how old were you when you got married?
I was 29.
29.
Okay.
And you were 25.
25?
Yeah. We were sort of establishing careers at that point, unlike some people just, you know, 22, 23, and here we go. So it was
You're talking
different.
To me. Okay. Listen, I remember right when I got married, I was 23, he was 22. We moved into an 800 square foot house. And he was still in school. I had just taken a job in ministry at the church for very little, because when you are right out of college, no matter where you work, you're not going to be paid, but then add ministry into it, and you're really not going to make that much. And I remember we used to go on dates to Sam's Club to like eat the samples.
you do what you need to do.
That's what we can do.
Do what you need to do.
But go back to before you got married, right? You are a little bit older, because what I've heard a lot from listeners is they think they're missing something, right? They think like, I'm never going to get married. I'm going to be alone forever. So what were some of the thoughts and feelings tied to waiting to find who God had for you? How did you know it was right after kind of being patient and taking your time?
I think after you graduate college, just to speak into that, and you do feel like, how am I going to meet anyone now? Because you're in your career. So as a teacher, most people come out of college with their MRS degree as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of rare, you know, more so. Most people that I taught with were already married. So I did feel kind of in that spot of, okay, God, where's that person going to come from for me? I had decided to follow Jesus my freshman year in college. And so to me, now in hindsight, looking back, I can see that I needed to work on a few things. I needed to become who God wanted me to become at that point. And there are times that we're like, I wish we had met sooner. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's story for us. And he writes our stories, and they may not be in the time frame that we want them to be, but it's trusting him. And I think for Greg and I, we've talked about this. Even when we met, we had both come to a place where we had decided, you know what? We're okay if this is where God has us for the rest of our lives. And not that that's the formula by any means, but I think
not that that's the hope for formula.
Right.
Really, it's like, oh, is there nobody for me?
Right.
And so I, being older than Tanya, I remember thinking, I've trusted Jesus all my life. Maybe this is what he has for me. Hope not, I think, but I want what he wants.
How did you, and I know this is probably the easy answer, is a work of the Holy Spirit, but how did you get to that point of contentment of, you know what, this isn't exactly what I hoped for, and this is disappointing. And that's okay to call it that this is disappointing because it's not what I hoped for. How did you continue with hope, though?
I knew the Lord had always been good to me, and he was good to me then. And I think if I'm going to trust him, I need to trust him with everything. Mm-hmm. And if this is what he has for me for this time or for forever, not that I want this for forever, but I remember thinking, I'm going to invest in ministry. I did a lot of volunteering at the time with student ministry, with college ministry, was invested in that. So I didn't have time to think about how bad my life was. Just tried to serve and be involved and pursue him, and he blesses that every time.
One of the things that I thought about was community, not removing myself from community and further isolating myself in my thoughts. So continued to be involved in a faith community, a small group of people that, you know, were in that same stage of life with me. Some of us were married, some of us were hoping to be married, but just continuing on. And sometimes that's what God calls us to do, is just continue on until I call you to that next step or bring that person into your life.
Mm-hmm. How did you all meet?
a teacher friend of hers who we go to church with still introduced us at a high school basketball game during halftime of a game. And basically, we met there, and it basically was, hey, Greg, this is Tanya. Tanya, this is Greg. I need to get back over here. That was it. That was the introduction.
So here you go.
A little
awkward. Enjoy each other.
That was it. Hey, stranger person. It was a blind meeting. And so Tanya had planned to go to work out that day. So she had on workout gear, and she did not. She was it had been a work, day of work. She did not. She wasn't prepped for her future husband.
I wasn't dressed to impress by any means.
I had led a high school Bible study that night, wear my poo boy sweater vest. Showed up in my khakis and my sweater vest. Like, well, oh, well, hey, here we are. And so, but what attracted to me to her initially was after the game, one of her students who'd had a rough game, and it was public the way the coach addressed that situation, and she left her future husband to go check on that student. Mm-hmm. That was very attractive from the jump, just immediately.
That's what I was curious about, because it is the thing. It's almost what you said at the beginning, Miss Tanya. It's like, okay, if I'm out of college and you have this weird in between, you know, and you're like, where do I meet people? How do I? And a lot of time it is introduction, being in community, knowing people, that kind of deal.
Well, this friend of mine said he needed some help, so he knew it. He tried to help me. So I appreciate that for almost 25 years now.
He passed it on for you. I love that. Yeah. So in those early years, you met, how long did you date?
A year and a half by the time we got married.
Yeah. How long was your engagement? My engagement was a year long, and I tell everyone, don't
do it. Was it like 4 months?
Ours was 4 months. That's because nice. With her being a teacher and trying to work that schedule at rotation, so we try to set up a bit of a rhythm.
Let's get married at the beginning of summer so I can at least maybe practice being a wife.
Gosh, that is the most like Williams thing. Like thinking, just like knowing how Greg's brain works. I assume yours works the same way. But thinking of all those details of, okay, if we get married now, we have this many weeks and we can
try to.
I mean,
we do have fun together, but yes. So if you put some structure to it, it's great, Callie.
Yes. It's even more fun. You know?
Here's how I knew Tanya was the one. I knew initially that was great. We were at a football game that fall, the fall we dated. And it's fourth down. UT has to punt. And UT's punter kicks a great punt. And Tanya said, look at that hang time. When she said hang time, she knows hang time. Is there a jewelry store here at the stadium?
Do it immediately. This is the time. I'm done.
Can I go get a ring right now before this game's over? I knew. Yeah, I knew lots of things. But that, like, wow.
It is. And that sounds so silly, but you have to think of, does she like what I like?
Oh, yes.
It's really hard to make it long term.
Yeah.
Even if you don't even try to like what the other person likes, right? Like,
that's correct.
Hobbies and every. Ryan's into disc golf right now. I don't really care for it. But on his birthday, I will make sure the kids have a babysitter and I will walk the disc golf course with him the entire day.
You'll go caddy and shag the flies. Yes, you will. I understand.
I'll go stand where it landed so he can find
it. I'm your marker.
Yes.
It's over here.
Yes. How did you know? Did you have a marked moment like that, Miss Tanya?
Well, I mean, early on, our very first date, I knew he was different. Not
in a good way,
in a good way. Yeah. Different in a good way. That, I mean, immediately, like, you know, our food came and he's like, can I pray for us? And I just thought, you know, I haven't talked to this guy very much at all. We don't know each other at all. He doesn't know a whole lot about me and where I stand. And he's just like, okay, we're going to pray for our food. This is what I do. This is who I am. And he wasn't ashamed of that. And he was like, this is who I'm going to be. And I'm not going to compromise that.
Because if I didn't start that way, when do I approach, okay, hey, I'm a person of faith. Mm-hmm. I follow Jesus.
Yeah.
This is me. Let's if it's either going to work or not.
Yeah.
But this is who I'm going to be.
I think that's such an interesting point, because in dating right now too, with it's not even this generation. I think it's any time in your 20s, especially when you really want to meet someone, you are prone to changing a little bit of like, man, I really want this to work. So I'll fudge a little over here, or I'll do this a little differently because I think they will like that better. But it always comes out, like the truth, the realness of who you are.
Oh, it does.
Will always come out. And I mean, don't you want that to come out before? You know, you make this commitment, this covenant.
Definitely.
And like you've done marriage counseling, right? I know you have for sure.
Yes. No. A long time, 20 something years, I guess, lots and lots of couples. A few couples we've counseled together. Mm-hmm. If a friend of ours asks, we've sometimes done some couple, you know, Tanya joins me for that. We've done that for a while because we just love helping people get off to good starts.
What's the big ticket thing that you find yourself saying over and over again?
Oh. I mean, I definitely encourage people to communicate. I'm not the best communicator. When we first started dating, when we got married, I have improved. You have to say how you're feeling, what you're thinking. you can't just expect the other person to know that was my expectation for you to do, but you didn't fulfill it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, causes problems.
And because in a lot of cases, people try to avoid that conflict, that disconnect. Mm-hmm. And so they'll store it up. And it's no place to be because it only gets worse. It deteriorates from there. And so we've learned to try to keep short accounts. Neither of us fights to win. If somebody's a winner, somebody's a loser. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think couples save up a lot of ammunition and they drop a big bomb because they want to win. Mm-hmm. And when you drop the big bomb, you win, then there's a crater and there's a distance between me and you.
Yeah.
And that's no way to live.
Gosh, I noticed with kids, with Henley probably, and Ryan, I would almost start keeping tabs. And I didn't realize I was doing it, but I was like, okay, I got up three times this night. He didn't get up any, so I'm going to remember this so that I can make him do something later. And I stayed home and did this. He did not do that.
Yes, because you're keeping score.
Yeah.
And you can't keep score.
And I remember the moment I realized I was doing that and just the unfairness of it. Of like, he doesn't even know there's something to keep score at. Like, this is all going to surprise him that I've.
Yes. And one thing that I talk with couples about early on is if you commit to do something, or if we're going to split household chores, then do yours. So like when we first got married, I took the shower and Tony said, I'll take the toilet. And I thought that's great. Cause that's where, you know, stuff happens in the toilet. And I thought I'll take the shower. But what I realized is like square footage, she won. That was a good choice. That was a good choice. And so what would happen is she would keep her commitment. She would the toilet get cleaned numerous times. And I probably just did the shower a couple. And she pointed that out, as she should have. Like, I said I'd do this, you said you'd do that, and do a little better about that stuff now.
When you look at those first years of marriage, those first five, before you had kids, what were some of those growing pains? Anything that kind of surprised you or that most couples don't see coming along the way?
One of the things for us was I had friends, she had friends, but they didn't mix. We had to find our friends. Mm-hmm. And we thought, my single friends, that was when I was single, when she was single, we did stuff together, but it just didn't click. And we had to learn that was okay. Mm-hmm. And so our friends became our friends. And my friends from before and her friends from before, we're still friendly with.
Yeah.
But that didn't carry over.
That's such a good point, because I think about the tension point of Ryan and I. We need yes. to find people that we both. But in and of that's tricky too, because you might, like Ms. Tanya might really get along with a wife, but then like you and the husband don't really click. Or vice versa, right? So
yes.
that's just as tricky
yes.
to find that community. But
very
it's
much
worth
so.
The effort.
It
it's
is.
Worth trying. Ms. Tanya, when you think about the early years, what were some of those growing pains for you?
Schedules. He was a night owl.
Still am.
I'm an early bird. We had different approaches to the weekend, you know, just learning each other's habits and things like that. Challenges, not difficult challenges, but just learning the things that don't come out in dating necessarily.
And from the standpoint of communication, like she communicates very well in the mornings. I don't want to talk in the mornings. She's done by 9 o'clock. Even now, she's not great late.
Same.
So as a couple, we had to discuss or make plans for said thing. We had to figure out when's our prime time for that. And it was not mornings for me. It was not later in the evenings for her. So it had to be dinner time or after. Mm-hmm. And so we had to learn that, because I think we had some confusion early on, because I apparently agreed to some things in my sleep and vice versa at night. So we need to work on
this. I don't remember that conversation.
Yeah, no, she doesn't remember that at all.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah. Last night about 10:30.
Oh, that.
Yeah, she was done.
It doesn't count.
She said, and that was it. I took that as a yes.
And the uh-huh was like, stop talking.
That's what that was. Leave me alone.
I will say yes to anything right now.
I'm going to be up at 6. I'll be up at 6.
Yeah.
You won't see 6.
We talk about those early years, and I remember this moment of just realizing that Ryan and I, we had changed with the birth of a baby, right? Our marriage had changed with bringing in children into it. What about for you all? Was there anything that shifted in your marriage when you started having children?
I think we tried to be perfect parents. We had to get everything right, and that's hard. That's
especially
just hard.
When your child doesn't follow the book.
Yeah.
The book says they should do this and they don't.
And so, like the first 6 months of Parker's life, he's our oldest. I remember being like one long migraine, colic,
sorry,
whatever it was. Sorry, son. But he cried. That's all I remember. And we were
what a sweet season.
It was good. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing wrong? How can we do this differently or better? And I think so many times as new parents, they're like, man, this is so hard. It is hard. I mean, it's supposed to be hard. I mean, everything's changed. One of you has birthed a human. That's a whole physical change. But then people try to keep sort of a schedule or keep things normal. There's no normal. There's a new normal, if you want to call it that. But everybody's like, oh man, this is not like it used to be. No, it's not. And I think when you recognize, let's just do our best and hang on here, and then you get through it. Because it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. I know some people have it seemingly easy, but most people are not being truthful if they say it was easy.
For me, I will speak that having a child challenged me in ways that I wasn't expecting. I wasn't really around little kids. I was a teacher, but I taught high school. Those were my people. I was comfortable with people who could talk to me, tell me what was wrong. This person couldn't tell me what was wrong. They had dirty diapers. So I felt like my life had been very routine with a school schedule. Like the bell rings, this happens, this happens, this happens. And I think I struggled with the fact that my life was no longer routine. I couldn't count on anything at any time. My time was no longer my time. And that's kind of what I had enjoyed about, you know, pre-kids, is that I made my schedule and my schedule was no longer my own. So I guess that that tug of selfishness a little bit of, you know, there's this other person now that is vying for my time and vying for the time that we had it together as a couple. And so making sure that we still had time and knew each other and liked each other, because I feel like even having a child, all these new emotions are coming out and you're like, where did that come from? I didn't know that my voice went that high. I didn't know that I could feel that way either. I think as a new mom, I feel like that change, I was changed different, you know. I was changed, and then I also made the transition to stay home. So that was different. Our roles changed at home. You know, we had shared a lot of the work, and then with me going home, I was doing, you know, most of those things at home then. And, you know, just those ideas of, you know, who does what, who, you know, all those roles kind of changed with kids.
Sure.
There's a great book that Greg goes through with couples. Work project, it just goes through a bunch of stuff that maybe you didn't think about. Maybe we should talk about before we get married, before we have kids. What are your expectations of when you have kids? You know, do you do this tradition? Do you do that tradition? Yeah. I mean, because some of those could be, you know, points that you can't reconcile.
And I remember coming home from work, and there's some days like Tony's like, okay, tag, you're in. Like, well, I've been at work all day, and she's like, I've been here all day. And there was one Super Bowl. I remember it was the fourth quarter, the winning drive kind of thing happening, and I remember I didn't remember which of the boys it was, but it was time to feed. She's like, can you get it now? Like, it's the fourth quarter. This is, and I missed the end of the game. I thought I'll catch it on SportsCenter later. But there's sometimes that support of how much do you need me to help? I want to help, but I don't know what I'm doing either. You know, that's just hard.
As the boys were little, because it's the hardest in the baby years, that you all, anything you did to like prioritize your marriage in that season, or how would you advise looking back young couples entering that stage to continue growing your relationship?
I think that making the priority for a date night or a date moment, you know, some people do it after they, you know, go to bed, they put their kids down, and they'll just have a date in the house, you know, something special that they have chosen to do, watch a movie together, play a game, have a special dinner, you know, whatever. But making sure that you still have time to look at that person, talk to that person. And we were blessed to live in the same city as grandparents, so we use grandparents a lot to babysit for us if we, you know, went out of town, or just for the kids to, you know, stay overnight, have grandparent time, just so that we could have a date night out, you know, where we could both eat dinner at the same time.
And even if it's after the kids go to bed or your first child goes to bed, even if it's 45 minutes, and you usually for a while until it changes, there's a little window. And if you're like, I think our window's 8:30 to 9:15, because you want some control, because it feels like so much is out of control. And so when you identify what those patterns are of, we have these windows of time, let's make that our time as best we can, and not, oh good, they're down, let's crash too. Or I've got to do some laundry now because he's down. And I think if you can work, it takes work, but if you can find those windows or those little pockets of time, and that becomes the two of you time, that's helpful.
Because you'll be a better parent if you're connected to, you know, your spouse in a better way.
Yeah.
Because if you're not having that time, there's also that tension that's developing. And if you're a tense parent, that's going to spill over into how you parent.
And that's such a discipline, because we'll get to that point and all I want to do is go to sleep. I'm like, okay, yes, I've got Holt down, and then like we'll split the difference and take turns. Like he'll take Hagen or I'll take Henley, and we'll change. And then we lay with them and talk through their day with them. And then you get downstairs, and I am not a night owl, and it's like 9:30. I'm like, I'm out. Like I just want to go to sleep. And we've had that conversation where Ryan's like, well, at some point we have to talk about our day. Like we've spent this time talking with them about their days and navigate, you know, going to practices or whatever we have to be at. And Ryan's so much better about remembering that than I am, because I'm just like, I just want to go. I want to go to sleep. I'm tired. Yeah. I just want
sure.
I did a parenting episode a couple weeks ago, and it's like every season is hard, right? But they're different kinds of hard. Like the first one is chaos and like lack of control, and you don't know what's happening. But then you're like, now I have to make you into a good human being. Like I want you, you know, I want you to be a great kid. How do I invest in that? But you're also, you know, managing other relationships, or you're working.
We allow ourselves grace a lot of times. Your younger ones grow up a little bit differently than that one did, because there's a lot of times that, you know, our older one is like, you would have never let me stay up that late. Well, I mean,
you're
right. You become different parents. I've read recently, you know, your kids have the same two people as their parents, but you aren't the same people. And I'm like, that is true.
Yeah,
I am different because of what I've learned, my experiences. I may have really messed up that first time. I need to apologize to you. I think that's important for them to see as well, that we mess up, but we're also willing to tell our kids that we messed up and we're sorry. We may not do that enough, but I think it's important that they see that mom and dads mess up too, but we also seek forgiveness.
Yes. As they got older, it was just kind of harder to keep up because things got so busy. In those, because Ryan and I find ourselves in that season right now of everyone has somewhere to be every night of the week.
Yes, it feels like.
It's going to start, I mean, with Holt growing up, we're just going to hit reset and do it all again with him. In those seasons for you, because I know your boys played a lot of sports, they were involved in a lot of extracurriculars. What rhythms did you create to kind of make sure that you still really knew each other instead of becoming roommates? Because you see a lot of marriages, once the kids leave, they're like, wait, I don't even know you anymore because we've been so invested over here. How do we live together again and know each other?
Well, those extracurriculars, something popped up on a like a reminder from something I posted previously. I think Tanya and I spent like 7 or 8 Valentine's nights in a high school or middle school gym someplace, like back to back to back to back.
That's love.
Yeah, that's love. No place I'd rather be than here with you, dear. And so we did that together, but it's more of this family, but we were together. One of the things that I'm blessed with because in ministry, if I'm done, usually Fridays and Saturdays are the weekend.
Yeah.
And so that rhythm has worked for us. We talked about this earlier, carving out that time. Where it's just, you know what your windows are. You've got to take advantage of those.
Was there anything you all aimed at to, I'm sure it was pretty casual, but is there a conversation that you wanted to have daily? You know, like something, because a lot of times in passing, I'll find myself with Ryan just be like, how was your day? He'll say, good. And he'll be like, well, how was your day? It was good. And then we move on, you know, to something else.
One of the things we learned early on, but being a teacher, I had a lot to say when I got home. I had talked all day, but then I had to get some things off my chest. And so Greg would like to then solve them. And I was like, wait.
Yes.
I don't need you to interject anything right now. I just need to talk. I just need somebody to listen to me.
If there's a difficult student, I had a 5-step plan for it. It seems like you should do this.
We can turn them around. Let's do this.
I've got an idea how we can work on this. And she just needed me to hear her heart. And she used to me to feel what she felt.
So I think we learned that early on. Like, I just, even after not teaching, you know, just being home with the kids, he would come home and I needed to spill.
Yeah.
I'm a spiller. I fill up. I got to spill out.
Yeah.
I will admit that I need to really be looking at him to be listening, to be a good listener. So sometimes if I'm cooking or something like that, or looking at my phone, I have to like really tune in.
Yes, because so sometimes I talk and then answer myself if she's busy with something.
Like, oh, what?
His love language is quality time, and it's never a rhetorical question. I learned that early on with him. It is never rhetorical. He wants a response every time.
Greg is that way too. I don't care that I said that the sky is blue. Did you see that the sky was blue?
Yeah. Did you hear what I said? No, I was texting. Oh, I guess we can't do two things at once, can we?
Literally, Ryan. He's just like, and I can hear him, but I'm trying to finish something, and then he's like, repeat back to me what I said.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan and I should hang out sometime.
I think you all function on the same wavelength for sure. When you all look back over, you know, the 25 years, are there any moments that stand out as some of your favorite?
We have always enjoyed travel. Growing up, we didn't travel much.
Yeah.
And so we've made some great memories and gone some great places and visited lots of national parks and lots of states and lots of things. That has been a great thing for us before kids, and we've taken kids to see lots of things that we did not get to see until we saw it with them, mm-hmm. you know, and so we've made those memories together. So we made some just as the two of us, we've made some with the four of us.
That's been my favorite as well, just traveling, having those moments that we've done together, but also with our kids. And, you know, it's just something you're not going to regret as well, just having those memories with mm-hmm. them. It's just been the best. And just going to their events, mm-hmm. being available and just being there for them, mm-hmm. showing up.
Yep.
Showing up.
That was, Ryan will, he'll plan a trip or he'll say, like, we're planning a trip for the summer for the kids, and he'll show me the price point. And I'm always, it does not matter what it could be, you know, this is going to be $150. I'm like, I don't know. That feels steep. I don't know, because he deals with all of our finances. So he can show me anything. And I'm like, can we do that? I don't know if we can. But he always says, like, hey, these are memory makers. Like, I will pay mm-hmm. if this is going to be a core memory for our kids, like something that they will think mm-hmm. back on when they're in their 30s and 40s mm-hmm. as a special yes. moment. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap up with just a little bit broader. What's maybe one or two things that you wish you'd known sooner about marriage?
I think from the standpoint of, we wanted to have a healthy relationship all along. And so at some point, I think we realized, and we still struggle with this, I think at some points, saying that wasn't very nice. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you said that way. And we tried to avoid those things. But if we ignore that, then it just takes longer, it builds up. And I think we've reached a point several years ago where we felt comfortable enough saying that. We're in this for the forever haul here, you know? And so if I have upset her or offended her, she can say, that wasn't very nice. I can't believe you said that. Mm-hmm. And that's hurtful for me that I've hurt her. And I think we both have a comfort with one another mm-hmm. that we can be honest, because we're not yellers. We don't argue. But every once in a while, there's a thing like, that wasn't nice.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and I think we've reached the point, that's how we handle that, mm-hmm. rather than I'm just going to think about it a lot for days and not say a word.
Yeah.
And that's been helpful for us to just, let's address this right now so we yeah. can move forward, or we have to fake it like we're all happy. Mm-hmm. Let's say it, hit reset and move forward.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I was thinking of, because marriage is going to be so much better if you can just be honest yeah. and be yourself with that person. You're not pretending to be this person that they thought they married, but you're being you.
Mm-hmm. And it's uncomfortable to start that, but if you don't start now, when will you start? Mm-hmm. And when's it going to get better? Mm-hmm. And say, like, well, we don't communicate well, let's work on that.
Yeah.
And so, like, we, before kids, we went to a marriage conference in Atlanta, and the general session finished. We went back upstairs to our room, and we had some homework mm-hmm. for the next session. And we got back up to the room, and I was like, you ready to go to lunch? You want to go shopping? Cause I was like, well, we have this homework to do. And I'm like, oh, we're good. She goes, but we're here. Why don't we, like, yeah, you're probably right. And I think so many times, maybe it's just guys don't want to put in the effort, cause we're fine. Mm-hmm. Fine's not really good enough.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be willing to put in that effort and do that homework in that setting. She was like, we're here. Let's take advantage of this mm-hmm. opportunity that we have. And so I think so many times people just put it off and wait because
yeah.
maybe it'll get better, but things don't get better on their own. And so you have to put in some effort and some time. And mm-hmm. I think we just continue to try.
Yeah.
Continue mm-hmm. to try.
Yeah.
We just like being together. Yeah. We like each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we're willing to do what we need mm-hmm. to keep making it better.
Yeah. That's something I told Ryan that the other day. One thing I'm so grateful for is that he still makes me laugh every single day. Like, we still just genuinely mm-hmm. enjoy
yes.
being mm-hmm. around each other.
Yes.
And, you know, to the point when he said the honesty, it has to start at the front end. You both know Amanda Hurley, but I'll never forget her saying to me, it was a wedding shower, and you know, there sometimes you write a piece of advice on a piece of paper and
yes.
put it in. And she put, start out as you mean to go.
Mm.
And I apply that advice, not even just to marriage, mm-hmm. but to everything, but especially to marriage. Of like, her point was, Because I felt Ryan came from a home that, like, his mom was incredible. She stayed home. Everything was homemade from scratch. You know, she hung her laundry out to dry. The house was always spotless. And my mom worked full time. And our sure. house was still spotless. But, like, dinners came from boxes. And, you know,
sure.
like.
Sure.
And so I wanted to, like, really show that I could do it the way Ryan's mom did. And I was talking to Amanda about that. And she was like, you have to start out the way you mean to go. Because you're going to get mad about doing that. You're going to get irritated. But also in conversations. Like, be honest immediately. If your feelings are hurt, you say, my feelings are hurt. So you create a rhythm of that honesty over time.
And as a couple, you need to be comfortable with who you are and not compare yourself to other couples. Mm-hmm. You really don't, because you don't know their background. You talked about different mm-hmm. backgrounds.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know what they grew up with or without mm-hmm. and other couples. And so you see people, whether it's social media, whether it's public figures, whether it's people in church, like, man, they've got, maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Because everybody looks good publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think you the two of you need to work on the two of you and not compare, because that's not healthy.
So we end every episode with one question. Some people love it, some people hate it. So we're going to see how you feel about it. What is one thing that you're so happy someone did tell you about? This can be absolutely anything. Advice, a Starbucks drink, a book you read, anything.
I have two pieces of advice okay. that were given to us, to me. One was, at the time when the boys were young, I was teaching, leading a young marriage group. We had a couple of mentor couples in there. And I would share like an anecdote or a story from the week of something the kids had done. And they said, you need to write those down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, I need it. But I started writing those down. And at that time, I would post them, and they still show up as memories. That. For instance, the whole, you need to clean your bedroom. And one of the boys said, I don't have messy eyes. It's stuff like that. You know what I mean?
We still use that.
Hey, use your messy eyes and yeah. go. And so, but things like that was, because you think, oh, I need to collect all these. And you really do. And the best piece of advice I ever received was from a gentleman I worked under in government years ago. And he and his wife had been married like 10 years and couldn't have kids. And then God blessed them with kids. And when Parker was a newborn, I was still working with him. And he said, Greg, let me just encourage you this. Don't wish every phase away. Because you, like when you're single, you want to be married. And when you're married, you want to buy a house. But when you buy a house, there's other stuff that's from an apartment. And you, man, I can't wait to let out of diapers. And I can't wait until they can this. And I can't wait. And you wish. And what happens is you miss all the good that's going on right mm-hmm. now while you're ready for that next phase and stage. But God has blessed us with each phase and stage, because I think we just lived and loved it while we were in it. Mm-hmm. And that's been some of the best advice I've ever received. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think it's played mm-hmm. out to be true.
Mm-hmm. I am going to say something very cliche here. And then I have a funny one too. But I am so glad that somebody had the courage to tell me about Jesus. God, in just the way he works, he'd been working on me for a while. But it was like the scales were removed from my eyes, and I realized I hadn't really surrendered to him. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized it. And I was like, wow, the hope and the peace that I experienced. I'm so thankful for that timing, because it's so vivid in my memory. Mm-hmm. I remember that day and how it felt.
Yeah.
It was great. And I am so thankful. Yeah. And I'm so glad that somebody recognized that they needed to share with me. Mm-hmm. And they did. You know, I sent her a note not long ago, just when Parker graduated, and just telling her a little bit of a life update. And I was like, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Mm-hmm. And my life is different because of Jesus.
Yeah.
And where, you know, what you did, you were a part of mm-hmm. my story. And I'm glad, because my kids' lives are probably different than they would have been.
Yes, exactly.
So you've not only impacted me, but you impacted other people. Mm-hmm. And who knows if Greg and I would be married. You know, I'm just... Mm-hmm.
Well, he would have tried to pray over that first meal, and you would have said nothing.
Yes.
And what am I so glad, also in college, my friends introduced me to almond tea cakes from Ham and Goodies. Almond tea cakes from Ham and Goodies.
I don't think I've ever had their... I've only had their cookies.
It's a big cookie-like thing with a cake cookie mix, basically. It's just goodness.
It's so good. I love it so much. Listen, Miss Tanya, let it be known, she was not overly excited about it. She did great. This was so much fun. I mean, Greg sounds like a radio announcer. Like, he's meant to have a microphone.
You know, that's what he really wanted to do.
That's what I wanted to do back in the day.
Did you?
I really did.
Gosh, I could have gotten you a job. Remember, I was really DJ Cihala over at the local Christian radio station.
In the back bedroom back there, right now, where Turner's bedroom is now, I have held both boys. Have I listened to, this is Kelly Holland. Can we do like, I have heard, yes. I've sat
think back
I rocked
to that.
Children while you were DJing.
I was in yes. college, and I remember thinking, like, who gave me that? Who thought that this, like, 20-year-old should have the airwaves? With no one was in there with me. I could have done whatever I wanted in there. It was
you were trustworthy.
I did one time
trustworthy.
Take the entire radio station off air by accident. I just hit the wrong button, and it was off air for a solid, like, 7 minutes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Before someone came to help me. I didn't know. I was still talking. I thought everything was great.
No, I remember rocking a child hearing your dulcet tones.
Oh my
on the
gosh.
Radio.
So, listen, I was aiming to be Delilah. I was going to either be like,
I can see, yeah,
you know,
I
was going to be that. Sure. But then I realized I wanted a talk show. I needed to talk to, I couldn't talk to
And here you are.
And here we are. Yes. It's great. That's maybe in your empty nester, you start a podcast together. And Greg, I think
yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, I've told the boys I would love for them to start one. I told them last night when we were talking about this. Yes. I was like, I would listen to you all because I love to hear them talk about sports and everything that they talk about.
The three men of the family can start it.
We could do that.
I think you're onto something. Listen, okay. Everybody watch out for we've got to come up with a snazzy name. We'll come up with it.
We'll get with them.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate you.